Fisher for three. Bang! He could.
This is the Tom and Jerry Sports Show.
Go!
You're listening to another Tom and Jerry Sports Show podcast. We had a interesting, obviously, you know,
crazy.
It's always an interesting week when you're talking about the March Madness tournament. We had a lot of upsets.
Yes.
So far in this tournament, a lot.
You definitely could see that coming because as we were talking last week, there was no clear cut favorite or you know. Top heavy dog, as you could say.
Exactly.
So you knew a lot of upsets were coming, and that's exactly what happened.
I mean, it started right from day one. Yeah. You know, day one, you had Ohio State and Dayton.
Yeah, the first game, I believe, too, or yeah. Close to it.
Dayton beats Ohio State by, what, 2-1?
Yeah. And we did warn you about Ohio State, said they're that disappointing team that always kind of let you down.
Of course. Then, you know, you got Stanford that beat New Mexico. That was another upset. Well, sort of an upset. I mean, Stanford's a good team.
Yeah.
You know, we just felt like New Mexico had that game at least.
That's why, yeah, I took Stanford just on that. They just always there in every college sport, you know. So I gave them the benefit of the doubt from that. And now, look at them. They're in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, exactly. Cincinnati losing to Harvard in the first first round. I did think the one upset that I did think was going to happen that didn't happen was the Providence North Carolina game.
Yeah, I did that too.
But it didn't happen. Oklahoma State losing to Gonzaga really wasn't an upset, but I felt like Oklahoma State was a better team.
Definitely.
But that didn't happen. North Dakota State beating Oklahoma in the first day or second day of the March Madness.
Yeah.
Who else? Oh, UMass losing to Tennessee. They got killed by Tennessee,
too.
Yes,
they did.
They got killed. And then, like we said last week, this team was not... We didn't feel like they were that good. But we thought that they were going to get at least to, you know, the Sweet 16 at least. Being, you know, that they would have had to beat either UMass or Tennessee. But Duke losing to Mercer.
Yeah.
That was a heartbreaker there.
Yeah, and we did give the warning with Duke too. They always, but as you said, I mean, in the first round, you know, no one saw that coming.
Yeah,
they have had a couple of times recently under Krzyzewski, you know, losing in the first round or second round. But obviously, the 14 on the 3 seed is it's a very big upset. And and another thing, interesting fact about that. It's a little off topic, but I don't know if you saw the whole thing with Roddy White. He went on Twitter before the game and said something to a fan about if Mercer beat Duke, he would give him season tickets on the 50-yard line.
Wow.
Mercer beat Duke, and then he tweets after the game something how it's not actually not an actual bet because gambling's not allowed in NFL, so he's just going to give him tickets to one game.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it is.
Then we had the second round. Well, the Sweet 16.
Round of 32. I guess because I don't even know the rounds.
They say the first round is the play-in games.
Yeah.
But this is technically the second round for us. There was not that many. I mean, Syracuse losing to Dayton was a big one. And then the other biggest one, I probably out of the second round or the round of 32... was Kansas losing.
Yeah.
That was probably the other biggest one.
And you did give, you know, you weren't too sold on them because Abid was out.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, that's what I said. I felt like if they got to the Sweet 16, I felt like they were going to do, you know, they were going to at least make some kind of run because Joel Embiid probably would have been back. But it kind of showed that, you know, Embiid was a, you know, a big controversial, you know.
He was a big piece
part
of their, big part of their puzzle, you could say.
And, losing to Stanford. I mean, Stanford, you know, kept it going.
They're looking like no joker, huh?
Yeah. And then Dayton. So we have a 10 and an 11 team playing each other in the Sweet 16.
That's the beauty of it.
In the Sweet 16. So, you know, other than that, I mean, Villanova losing to UConn really wasn't that big of a deal. Creighton losing to Baylor. I mean, Doug McDermott, the first game, had a double-double in the first half.
Can't do it all, though.
Yeah, exactly. And then, Kentucky ending Wichita State's perfect run.
In a very close game.
At 35-0.
Everyone knew it was going to be close.
See, now, watching that game, you had Early, who was going bananas in that game, hitting every shot he threw up.
Yeah.
Then Baker hitting all the threes for him. Now, the last play of the game, now I know Van Vliet is their best player. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's their, you know, their floor general.
Yeah.
But why give it to him? Why give it for him for a three-point shot?
Yeah.
Why? If you're going to give it to either Early or Baker, they were the hottest guys on the court.
You give it to the hot hand.
So I was a little
coaching error at the...
Yeah, I just didn't understand that. But, you know, right now you got the Sweet 16 games. You're looking at on the 27th, which is Wednesday?
Yes, 3 days from now.
You got Florida, the number one, against UCLA, the number four, 9:45 p.m. game. Then you had also on Wednesday, you have Dayton versus Stanford at 7:15.
There it is.
That's going to be a good game, I feel like. I think that's going to be a very...
You got two underdogs going against each other.
Yeah.
And that's a big step. I mean, going to the Elite Eight for either of them. I would say more particularly in Dayton because they're kind of, you know, that lower tier, I guess you could say. You know, Stanford is obviously an established, university, so it would be a little more meaningful for Dayton, I think.
Yeah. Also on Wednesday, you have Arizona versus San Diego State. That's going to be a really good one. And then also Wednesday, you have Baylor versus Wisconsin. That's going to be a real good one.
Yeah.
And then on Thursday, you have...
And we'll see about Wisconsin because... As we've been saying, I mean, they are a 2 seed, and they're playing very well right now.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see how far they can go, because we kind of put them down a little bit last week. Saying, you know, they're also like that team that lets you down.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see how far they're going. They're looking pretty strong so far.
Yeah, and I mean, they're on a nice little run there. I could see them going up against Arizona. I don't know if they're going to be good enough to beat Arizona.
Yeah.
But let's hope Arizona gets past San Diego State.
Exactly.
So we'll see what happens with that. Then you got we got Virginia versus Michigan State.
That's probably the best one on paper.
Yeah. I got to be rooting for Michigan State because I do have Michigan State in the championship and winning it all. So I got to go with them. Then you got Iowa State versus UConn.
Those are my boys, Iowa State. They suffered a big injury, though, one of their key guys.
Yeah, Niang or something like that. Then also on Thursday, you got Kentucky versus Louisville.
That's a classic. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Calipari was very, not happy about how he has to go through, Kentucky, and he complained or brought up the fact that Duke never has to play Carolina in a bracket.
Yeah.
And you can understand that point.
Absolutely.
This is the biggest in-state rivalry, you know, one of the biggest in college basketball, and now they have to play each other again, in a tournament. So it's a little odd.
So you got Rick Pitino versus Calipari.
Classic,
nice little rivalry there. And then the last game on Thursday is Tennessee versus Michigan.
Tennessee's looking strong right now.
They really are. I mean, beating UMass and then beating Mercer, destroying Mercer.
Yeah, so they're looking very strong right now. Michigan's got to watch out.
I mean, they beat UMass 86-67.
Then
they beat Mercer 83-63.
They were just like on men on boys, especially in the UMass game. They were every rebound at just manhandling them.
So, I think the Sweet 16 is going to be very interesting. I think they're all going to be close games. And you definitely got to watch these games.
You can almost call this round like the wild card round in the playoffs for football, where you have like two games on each day.
Yeah.
And that's everyone's favorite week of football. That's almost like the Sweet 16 because you still have a good slate of games,
amount. You got four each day.
Yeah, and they're obviously very good games, so.
Yeah.
So, it's not bad.
No, not at all. But I mean, I guess we could go into some surprising, the games that kind of surprised us. and go more into those games. I mean, Ohio State did. You had Kraft that was
Aaron Kraft, yeah,
was going nuts.
Yeah, doing everything.
He's a real good player. He's like a scrappy.
Yeah, give it everything you got, kind of.
I really like him. Yeah. I don't know how good he will be in the NBA if he does get into the NBA.
If it translates to the NBA game because of height and, you know, jump shots.
He's not a big scorer during the regular season, yeah, but he's one of those big time.
He's a very good defender, though.
Yeah.
He's a very good defender.
He's one of those big time players, though.
Yes, like, exactly.
You know, when it comes to that, that's the guy that you want. I mean, he just rolled it off.
I was just going to say, we saw that in that game. In the last minute. I mean, he tied it, or no, he had the layup to go ahead at the end. And obviously, Dayton brought it back and got the go ahead. And then, I mean, he traveled. But it's okay.
Yeah.
But as you said, it did just roll off the rim.
And I mean, last year he hit the one big shot to win it for them. Also, the big three-pointer.
He's a very good player for them.
So, you know, I like Aaron Kraft. The Kansas game, really. I mean, Stanford just, you know, manhandled them, really. Yeah. I mean, that's what you really can
that's
say
That's what happens
about.
When you're missing your 7-foot center. I mean, that's a huge difference.
But, I mean, other than that...
The one that really... That I wanted to happen, or, you know, picked for my bracket, was in the early rounds, St. Louis.
Yeah.
And I forgot who... They played at 12 seed.
They played New Mexico State. Oh, no, North Dakota... No.
Where are they? Did they play in? They were the 5, and they played at 12.
Who was it, St. Louis? They played NC State.
Yes. And I had NC State winning that game, and...
NC State was winning the whole game.
I believe at one point we're up 16 or something like that. All they had to do was make free throws. And it's funny because at every situation in any college or professional basketball game, at the end you always see like the fouls and you're like, all right, like really, just let it, like you're gonna lose.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, NC State missed enough free throws to let St. Louis hang around, and they went into overtime. And St. Louis ended up winning, and that was one of the biggest, I don't want to say upsets, because they're obviously a 5 seed on 12, but I mean, up 16 at any point in the second half, you got to hold on to that game.
Exactly. VCU also losing to Stephen F. Austin.
Very disappointing.
Stephen F. Austin's 31-2, though. I mean, like, that's a...
It's just disappointing in terms of, because VCU is always that tournament team, they seem, you know... You can put them in a Sweet 16, almost seemingly now, but
my thing now with Wichita State, I feel like, you know, last year they made it to the Final Four. This year they're a better team, and I just feel like they got the short straw in this tournament because they got the toughest.
They did, yeah.
The toughest bracket, and Kentucky's not an 8 seed.
That's the toughest 8 seed you'll
find.
You know,
that's what I'm saying. Like, they're not an 8 seed. I would give them maybe a 4, maybe a 3. But I feel like, you know, this bracket is tough. I mean, you had Duke
If they got past Kentucky, congratulations, you're going to go against Louisville.
Yeah, so exactly.
It was a tough draw for them.
And Louisville's not a 4.
No, Louisville's...
You know, I would give them at least a 2.
They were fighting for a 1, you know, seemingly the whole year. Almost seemed to be a lock for if they weren't a 1, it was going to be a 2.
Yeah.
And to give them a 4 is...
See, now, I don't think Duke is a 3, though.
Yes.
So, but, you know, kind of talking about translating into the NBA, the top 2 players in the country... had tough times in this tournament. Andrew Wiggins fell off the map during this, you know, especially in the Stanford game. Fell off the map. I think he had 4 points in that game. He was 1 for 6, I think. Something like that.
Yeah.
Jabari Parker. Nothing in that Mercer game. So, you know, obviously there's questions out now that, you know, is this going to really translate to a good career or a great career?
Because this is kind of the first,
NBA.
You know, pressure builder for these guys. I mean, this is where a lot of guys make their money. A lot of guys lose their money. Is this a tournament?
Now, a question for you, which I've been hearing a few times, and I have my own opinion against it, or about it. Now, with these guys, do you think, because they had such a bad tournament, do you think they take back their next year of college to go back into the tournament and show themselves a little bit better?
It's actually a very good point, and I'm more for Jabari, I would say so, yeah, in a way, because they have the top two players out of high school.
Yeah.
Or it was like 1 and 3 or something. Like, they were like a combo pack.
Yeah.
And Duke got both of them. And I think one of them is a center. So you're talking about, you know, potential old Kentucky team like Anthony Davis when they had five first-rounders team. I mean, that's what you could be looking at next year at Duke. So Jabari has to think about that. I mean, you had a bad tournament. He would still go top five.
Oh, absolutely.
And
both of them will still go
exactly.
top five.
Yes, exactly. So that's probably going to stop them.
Yeah.
You know, like, why go back when I'm going to be a top five anyway? But if, like, you know, the fire's burning inside of them
and they
and the will, you know, to want to win in college is there, then it's more so for Jabari, like I said, definitely should come back.
Now, is Joel Embiid going to come back?
No.
No?
No, he's definitely...
I mean, he's pretty much
you can't
a number
take,
one,
yeah,
I think.
You can't take chances at when you're 7 foot. I mean, because injuries happen too easily at that height with your legs or back, whatever it may be. You gotta take it when you can when you're like that. I mean, he only emerged at the beginning of the year. He wasn't, you know, preseason. No one even heard of this guy.
Yeah, and the only reason why I say that is just because he didn't get to, you know, I guess, experience the tournament. You know,
I get what you're saying there. But at the same time, his stock might have gone up because Kansas lost.
That's true. That's
true, too. Looking at it that way, you know, his team, a favorite all year
losing
to win it
to
all,
Stanford.
Loses to Stanford in the second round because he's not playing. Maybe it's because of him, you know, so maybe he can go off that.
I mean, going into that game, I think, let's see the stats in this game, you know, rebound-wise, we had...
It's definitely where Stanford could have, you know, taken advantage of Kansas.
Yeah, well, you had Kansas with 22 defensive rebounds, and you had 13 offensive rebounds. And then you had Stanford with 8 offensive rebounds and 29 defensive rebounds. So, I mean, it really wasn't that big of a...
they did stop a lot of possessions, though.
Yeah.
A lot more possessions than Stanford.
Yeah.
You know, grabbing those defensive rebounds.
They had, you know, overalls, obviously, 37 to 35.
But I also, you know, reading that, it says Kansas has missed a lot of shots.
Yes.
So, you know, that's another factor. Another thing with Wiggins, most likely.
Yeah, they were 19 for 58,
yeah,
while Stanford was 21 for 47.
Yeah, there you go.
So.
It seems like they were just, you know, chucking up shots, really.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could go either way. Like, you can look at it that way.
Definitely.
Or you could look at it in another way. As a player, I don't know. See, if I missed the tournament, just because it's such a, like, an amazing experience, I feel like I would go back. But you know what? Like, then you start thinking about it. I'm going to be number one anyway.
Yeah.
Or at least a number two.
It's tough. Yeah, it's really tough because that is a once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah,
you don't have that in the NBA. You know, is it? I feel like it is worth it to just experience. I mean, that's a story to tell, regardless
Absolutely.
Of how far you make it. I mean, you were there. You were part of one of the best sporting events we have.
Yeah, definitely. So I mean, it could go either way. Like you know, you can look at it both ways. Andrew Wiggins really fell off the last 5 games, I think it was. He went, you know, from like 35 games to 40.
I was just going
to
say, he was hot entering the tournament or, you know, at the end of the year. That's it's hard to say why he, you know, fell off like he did.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's sad, but I still think he's got it in him.
Yeah.
A lot of people are questioning his big game, you know, ability, but...
At the same time, though, what he's 18, 19.
Yeah.
I mean, not everyone's built for that, you know, right away.
Yeah.
He's still a freshman. He's still just out of high school. We got to, you know, and that's another thing, like, what you brought up. should that be why he comes back? You know, maybe get a little more experience. And that's why I think they should raise the limit to two years.
If this does happen where Andrew Wiggins or Jabari Parker or whoever, or all three of them, mm-hmm. go back for an extra year just
to
show
them.
That
makes it even better
next year. It kind of makes, you know, Silver, you know, pretty much this is, you know,
yes,
this is
exactly.
the reason why I'm doing this. This is the reason why I don't want one and dones. I want them to at least go for 2 years.
Because it makes it better for both sports, especially for college basketball more so, I would say, because
it's more of a competition.
You're getting better play in college basketball and you're avoiding bad play in the NBA.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Who wouldn't want that?
Absolutely.
It just makes sense that way.
And watching the CBS post game with Charles Barkley, he said, you know, the NBA is not a good sport right now.
Yes, it's not
interesting. There's nothing really, you mm-hmm. know, going on in the NBA. There, you know, it's just the same, the same guys, same teams.
Exactly.
So it's like, you know, and he said it's a boring sport right now.
Because if you look at it, all the guys that have been drafted recently are
really
like getting no minutes because they're either they can't handle it, you know, or don't have the whatever it may be. So why not make them do another year in college, get bigger, get stronger, get smarter, and everyone's happier, you know?
Yeah.
You come into the league at a it's 19 right now, I think. They want to make it 20.
So
make it 20. You know, everyone will have a little bit more experience.
Yeah.
You're making the college game a lot better.
Absolutely.
On this, you know, in the same part of it. So everybody wins out of it.
Yeah. And speaking of Adam Silver, he's meeting with LeBron James about the sleeved jerseys, which we kind of like
don't understand.
We don't like it at all. We don't like the sleeved.
Yeah. And the good thing is LeBron doesn't either, so
yeah.
You know. Good that he's there, rather.
Yeah, they said that if enough players don't like it, that they'll get rid of it. And then also Adam Silver said that he says he's estimating at least, I think it was 5 years.
Yeah, I saw that
there'll be ads on the jerseys, which I think is...
We're looking like soccer jerseys
stupid.
Out there.
Stupid, yeah. But you know what? This also goes back to, you know, what Charles Barkley said. NBA is not a good sport right now.
Got
to
make money how you can.
Yeah, it's just, it's struggling. And, I mean...
Well, I mean, when you can take it down to about 4 or 5 teams, you have a problem.
Yeah.
You have a big problem.
Well, and, you know, this can also go to, you know, the super teams that have been happening, mm-hmm. you know, with the free agency. You know, guys, you know, going up with each other and, you know, going onto the same team. Like, and pretty much... I mean, it started with Boston.
Always bothers me. Everyone always talks about LeBron, and nobody brings up Boston.
Yeah, it started with Boston with Ray Allen, Garnett,
and
Paul Pierce. You know, and it ended up turning out that Rondo was probably the best out of all of them.
Or the most important.
Yeah. But then you know it happened with the Heat, and obviously that was more of a bigger
that was
bigger news because of how. Great, the three were.
Yes.
You know, Garnett was a great player, but he wasn't, you know.
It's not a LeBron and D
Wade.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, then, you know, Paul Pierce is a great player, but he's still.
They're superstars in different ways. You know, they're bigger, they're less fancy.
Yeah.
You know, you can do less with the dunks and all that and the acrobatic shots. You know, they just get their job done, especially, you know, especially KG.
So, you know, it's. That can also be one of the reasons. And, you know, look at the Heat. Like, the Heat are going to be there again.
Yes.
They're going to be there again. There's no doubt in anybody's mind that they're going to be at least in the Eastern Conference Finals. Just because if you're looking at the Eastern Conference, it is absolutely horrendous.
Yes.
Horrendous.
I believe the Bobcats are in the playoffs.
I believe that the Knicks are 2 points out of two games out of the playoffs.
Yeah. And look how
and they're under 500. There's no way an under 500 team should be in the playoffs. Absolutely no way.
You should let Western Conference teams switch over.
I mean, the Western Conference is 10 times better.
Yeah.
I mean, at least, you know, you still have...
Like, you still have your favorites in the Western, but
there's more
it's more even
exactly.
in terms of the bottom teams.
And, I mean, you still have, I think you still have, like... over 500 teams that aren't in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you have under 500 teams, that's not good.
Yeah, and this isn't like a situation like with football, the 7-9 yeah. Seahawks winning. Like, it's a little different. I mean, they won their division. It just happened to be a bad year.
Yeah.
This is different. This is like, because the Eastern Conference is just so bad.
Yeah.
That you're allowed to be that bad and make the playoffs. It just shouldn't happen. I don't know what you can really do, because obviously what I, you know, bring to Western, that's never going to happen. Like, there's nothing you can do to eliminate this problem.
You have the Bobcats at 34 and 36 in the seventh seed. You have Atlanta at 31 and 37 in the eighth seed. How is that fun?
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at this Eastern Conference right now and you're saying Indiana, Miami, Eastern Conference Finals.
What Knicks fans would even want this team to make the playoffs?
Well, that's what I said. There's no point in making the playoffs. Yeah, I feel like they'd have a better chance against Miami because they've beaten Miami.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going into a 7-game series. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know, they may win one or two games, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But, look at this Eastern Conference, and you're looking at it right now. Indiana, Miami, Eastern Conference Finals.
That's it.
You don't even have to play out the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking at. So, you know, if I was a Knicks fan, I wouldn't want to make the playoffs.
Well, there's no
because
benefit.
you're just ruining your draft pick right now.
Well, Denver's draft pick.
You can't
so
do
that. So I guess that's one benefit.
That's true. But, like, I mean, you can't do anything about that.
No,
you have to go out and win.
Yeah.
But still. I mean, when you're looking at, now listen to this. You're looking at the Western Conference final, the Western Conference. You got the 8 seed Dallas Mavericks, 42 and 29.
Say, wow. That's.
All right. You're looking at right now Denver being in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference if they were in the Eastern Conference.
What's Denver right now?
32 and 38.
Yeah.
Minnesota would be in the playoffs. They would probably be in sixth place.
Wow.
In the Eastern Conference. New Orleans would be a game behind Atlanta in for the eighth seed. The Lakers would even have a chance to make it into the playoffs in the Eastern Conference.
Here we go.
All right? I mean, so it's... And the Lakers are having a terrible season.
Thank God that's not a possibility.
Yeah.
Because that would just not end with the Lakers.
So, you know, you're looking at it, and it's like...
And it's kind of sad because people always complain about baseball, like the same teams.
Yeah.
It's not even close to that.
Absolutely
not. Even as close to what it is in the NBA. And they have a salary cap.
Yeah.
And yet this still happens where there's a possibility of... four teams at the most winning the NBA title.
See, that's the funny thing. Like, you have a salary cap in the NBA. You have a salary cap.
And we still have this issue.
And we still have, you're going to say, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, maybe Western Conference Finals again. Yep. You're going to be
maybe throw Houston in that mix, possibly.
Maybe.
If they make a run or something. I mean,
I don't think the Clippers are going to be there.
No.
They always choke in the playoffs. I'm not worried about
that. I do think it's going to come down to what you said. It's Spurs, Oklahoma.
Yeah, and and that's another thing. Like, how are the Spurs this good? How?
I don't know.
They're so old.
I don't understand.
You know?
Mono's always out with or that.
And, like, this is where you got to look at it and you say, Popovich is one of the best coaches.
They give Splitter, like, $25 million. No one even blinks an eye at it.
I know.
And he's like, he's not that good a player.
He really isn't.
The guy plays some, you know, for this team. It's crazy.
It drives me insane. Like,
and they're so boring to watch too.
Yeah, they really are. But they're so fundamental. Like,
yeah,
they're just a fundamental team.
Yeah,
and that's why they're boring. Obviously.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to go up. Someone's not going to.
It's not a lob
dunk
city.
Dunk it from the foul line.
But, you know, obviously that's what wins championships.
Yeah.
Not lob city.
Yeah. So I'm going to put it right now. I'm going to say. Indiana, Miami, Eastern Conference Finals, San Antonio, OKC, in the Western Conference Finals.
I mean,
it's probably going to be...
It's going to...
you know, Miami. I feel like Indiana
has a really...
You can't
throw anyone else in the Eastern Conference.
No,
that's the thing.
Absolutely not.
The Western at least seems, oh, you know, maybe the Clippers will finally do it. Maybe the Rockets can make a push this year. Eastern, you have no one.
Toronto is the number three seed.
Yeah. Granted, they are playing good basketball.
They are.
You know, they are. It's most likely their competition.
But if you look, you know, you go from... You go from Indiana and Miami, and then you drop off.
Yes.
You drop off.
That's the point, yeah.
From Miami to Toronto. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, I guess you could still put Chicago technically ahead of Toronto, at least. Not record-wise, but,
you know,
team-wise, coach-wise and everything. And playoff-wise, you would probably see Chicago go further.
Yeah.
You know, I can't really say much about Toronto. You know, we'll see what happens with them, if they're for real or not.
Yeah, I just feel like there's a big gap between Miami
Very
and Toronto.
Gap. The only team that would be able to make a closer gap between that is if Chicago got Melo.
Yeah.
That's the only way there would be a three-team race.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, in the beginning of the season, we were talking about the two New York teams being horrendous. And Brooklyn's the number five seed.
Yeah, Brooklyn finally playing a lot better basketball since the new year.
At 37-31.
Yeah.
So
they do have the best records in the NBA, I believe, since the start of the new year. It's obviously a long time ago now, you know, a couple months, so very impressive.
Well.
They've
been playing well, but it's just...
It's not going to... It doesn't matter.
No.
It's kind of sad in a way.
Well, first of all, Indiana and Miami already clinched a playoff spot. They already clinched.
That probably happened like the first game of the season. They said, all right.
I would say the same thing. And Indiana and Miami, I think, are playing Thursday night, I believe, or Wednesday night. So, you know, that's always a good game to watch. But this year, the NBA is just not fun to watch.
It's not.
It really isn't.
It's not. I'll watch the conference finals and the finals, maybe.
Maybe
if
the finals,
I feel like
it.
It's tough a situation for the league. I mean, because what can you do?
Yeah.
You can't really stop. Well, I guess you can veto trades or free agency or whatever. Chris Paul
David
would tell
Stern,
you that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how do you stop superstars from wanting to play with each other? And how do you also get these teams that are at the bottom to... somewhat relevancy. I mean, there's not. It's a very tough situation for Adam Silver.
See, and you know, everybody's hyped up about, you know, Phil Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Deservingly so.
Hired.
Yes.
Yeah. $15 million a year.
Yeah.
$15 million a year.
Now, does that count? That doesn't count against the cap, though, right? That's just.
I don't believe so.
Yeah,
I think that's just.
Okay.
I think that's just team money.
Still
like,
insane.
I think he's getting paid more than anybody else on the team.
Yeah. Well, Amari maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
But probably still making more. Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, I love Phil Jackson.
Yeah, we talked
you
about
know,
this
I,
last week.
I think the world of Phil Jackson, just because I mean. What he did with, you know, the Lakers and Chicago. He's just probably the greatest to do it. But, I mean, he's been a coach. He's never been a president.
Mm-hmm.
He's never been a front office guy.
He's just gotten the talent.
Yeah.
Now he has to go out and get the talent.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
He's usually, you know... coaching that talent. He's, you know,
it's probably going to be easier for him though compared to others just because
he is
Phil Jackson.
Yeah,
though,
exactly.
Know?
Exactly. So that's part of the,
like, if he's bringing in a free agent, he can just have a ring on each finger and just, you know, sitting on the desk, just tapping his fingers, you know,
and then another one on his toe.
Yeah. So that makes it easier for him. I guess you could say that's, you know, my thing last week was why risk it. You know, your legacy, I guess you could say, for him by coming to the Knicks and not winning, because he's always won. He's won everywhere. That's just what he does. So why risk that? But, I mean, when you're Phil Jackson, I guess, I mean, Melo's already talking about wanting to play better and do things, you know, for Phil. So you already have the superstar on your team.
We also don't know how truthful.
No, I know, but he's aware of Phil's presence.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that's what I'm getting at. And... that's important to have on your team in the sense of trying to lure others in. I mean, having Phil Jackson on your side is a huge bonus, and no matter where he is.
Absolutely. So, you know, it could go either way with the Knicks. Like, it could be, you know, really good for them, or it could end up being, like,
Surprised if he ended up coaching either.
Don't be surprised. Depending on his talent that he gets.
All right, then here's the situation, because this is where I think he would have to coach. He brings, I'm not going to name players of who he brings, just say he has a very good team.
Yeah.
One of the top teams in the East, you know, right there with Miami or Indiana. They start, like, you know, close to the midway. They're just on a losing streak, you know. They don't know how to snap out of it. They don't know what to do. They have this talented team, but nothing's bringing them together.
Yeah.
Enter Phil Jackson. Exactly same situation in 06 with Pat Riley and the Miami Heat.
That's true.
He was the president at that time, and he said, you know what? It's my time. I have to take over this team. They won the final.
Yep.
And that's the exact same situation that Phil would most likely end up coaching again.
To be honest with you, I still don't think anybody's going to win a championship with Melo.
Mm-hmm. Not as Melo as the main... And it's nothing against Melo.
I have nothing against Melo. Melo's one of the greatest scorers.
He can't be the guy.
I just don't think he has what it takes to win a championship. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's not that, you know, facilitator, you know. And, you know, other guys weren't that kind of player. Like, you know, Kobe Bryant wasn't that kind of player. He still averaged like 3 or 4 assists a game, which is still more than Melo, you know, averages. But Kobe, like,
just has that it.
Yeah, like, he's just a different player from Melo. And
maybe,
you know,
if Melo had more of that killer instinct.
Yeah.
And to replace the, you know, say, lack of, like, defense or whatever it may be.
And that's another thing. He doesn't play defense.
So maybe if he had that killer instinct a little bit more to replace some of the things he has less.
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you look at it, like, you're looking at Kobe was, you know, for a while there was still a first team, you know, all NBA defensive player. You had Jordan, who was the same way. You know, I think he averaged, what, 6 assists a game?
Around there,
maybe
5, 6.
So, you know, and he was one of, you know, the best defenders as well.
Yep.
So you're looking at all these guys, and all these guys that are great scorers were also great defenders.
Yeah.
Melo is not a great defender.
I mean, people are already with Paul George. It's the same thing. I mean, he emerged, I would say, mostly last year. And this year, obviously, as a superstar in his league, but it's because he does it both ways.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, separates.
I love Paul George.
I love his game. And that's what separates those top players from just your Carmelo Anthony's, I guess you could say, that are just scorers. That's
exactly.
He's the best scorer in the NBA. I'll give him that. Maybe him and Durant. But that's it.
Yeah.
And that's what you can say about Melo. So you can't build a team around that guy.
Exactly. And, I mean, if you look at it right now, like, you have, you know, LeBron is the total opposite of, you know, a Michael Jordan or,
a Kobe
Bryant, where, like, the scoring is not,
second
is not,
yeah,
like, definitely number
he's
one
passed
to
first,
him. Yeah.
For sure.
So, but he's a great defender.
Yes.
So, like, if you really look at all these, you know, top players and all these greatest players.
Yeah, they do it both ways.
They do it both ways. Melo has to learn how to play defense.
Yeah.
And Phil Jackson may be the guy that shows him how to play defense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good point.
But as of right now, I don't think you win a championship with Melo.
And Phil's in a tough situation even through next year.
Yeah.
Because that's when they can... 2015, I think, is the big year for Phil. Because that's when they can get Amari off. That's when they can get Bargnani off, what they never should have got in the first place, so we don't have to go into that. But, you know, those are the two big ones that they can realize. And those are, I believe, you know, like $10 million a year hits. So those are very, you know, big. That's going to be a big
Amari's the biggest hit right now. And, I mean, they can't even get rid of him because it's still going to take a hit.
And it's such a shame, too, because he was the first one that wanted to come here and try and build something.
Yeah.
He was the guy, you know, that said, I'll be the first piece, and you keep bringing me more.
It was just it was the wrong move to bring in Melo.
Yes.
So him and Melo just never really meshed.
Melo ended up taking his spot at four. It's crazy. I mean,
Amari that's playing, you know, Amari Stoudemire basketball as of late.
Yes, yes, he's playing.
You know,
much
he's playing like mm-hmm. he played with, you know, the Suns, and mm-hmm. so, you know, I love his game right now. But I don't know if it's gonna be enough for them to get into the playoffs. I mean, they are still what, two games back, three games back.
What then? Like we said, what's the point of an 8 seed?
Nah.
What is the point of playing?
You're
Indiana
going up
Pacers?
Against Indiana or Miami, no matter what. There's no way of them moving up to the sixth.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know what can happen in the East, but I feel
so
like
even if they got the sixth, but you can't play a division opponent. Can you? Can you do that in basketball?
I think you can.
Oh, okay, so then they will play Toronto most likely.
I think baseball is the only sport that does that.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean,
because I was going to say if they had to play like a Chicago or something like that in the first round, you're still going to lose anyway.
I mean, if they could get to a sixth seed, they can beat Toronto.
That's something we can do.
But I don't think that's going to happen because they are.
You actually have to be like over 500 at that point.
Yeah, they are like eight games behind that sixth seed, so. You know, I guess we could say that's never going to happen.
Their only chance is, what, the eight?
The eight, maybe the seven.
Because you said the seven was, what, the Bobcats?
Is the Bobcats.
And they're over 500, like
they're
two games
under 500.
Oh, two games under. Okay. Yeah, so that's okay.
So you're looking at, you know, they're 22 games back of,
so there you go.
Of your Indiana.
Your invitation to either Indiana or Miami.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out.
So, I mean, they took a tough loss yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's, you know, it can go either way with the Knicks. And, you know, years to come, it could go either way.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see the moves that Phil does make, though.
That's the one thing that I want to see. You know, I want to see what he actually
I want to see him do. As a recruiter, I guess you can call him as now. You know.
And the funny thing is going to be, you know, Jeannie Buss. And Phil Jackson, you know, kind of, how is that going to work? How is that going to work?
Well, because they already said something with that. Like, they already had, like, a meeting with Silver or something.
Yeah.
To kind of, like, address this situation. And Jeannie already said, like, she doesn't do any basketball thing. She just does, like, the financial stuff.
Yeah. Which I'm not, like, happy about.
I'm not even a Lakers fan. I'm not happy about that because when you're engaged to the best coach in basketball history, let's not go into that whole fiasco with the Lakers. Yeah. But so, you know, she said it's not going to be a problem, and I don't see why it would if she's not doing basketball things, you know.
I just feel like free agents wise and like everything else, like, you know, it's going to be fun to see, like, you know, the Lakers and the Knicks.
Because now it's kind of, I don't want to say between them, but attractiveness to the location.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you get any better than Phil Jackson in New York and just LA in general?
Yeah.
You know?
So, and, you know, Kobe Bryant's been coming out saying that the Lakers are going to make the biggest comeback ever, you know, from this year to next year, which, I mean, I can see. I can see that happening.
The only thing is, you know, you're going to have to bring in free agents, and the year after this one is the big one.
Yeah.
You know, last one.
That's a big one that they want, at least.
Yeah. That's, you know your LeBrons. That's the Kevin Love.
Yeah.
That's the, I believe, there's a couple more big names. I think Durant is also up in 2 years, too.
Yeah. Kyrie has an option to, mm-hmm. you know. So it's going to be an interesting 2015 free agency. Even this year, I mean, there's still names out there. I mean, LeBron can opt out this year, so we'll see what happens. I think he's going to opt out? I don't think
so. He has no reason to, you know.
Yeah.
Where are you going to go that's better than what you have?
Yeah. Like I said, I would respect the hell out of him if he went back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
If he went back to Cleveland, but Kyrie Irving does not want to play with LeBron James. And that would...
Well, I guess because LeBron's kind of like the point guard. Yeah.
And that would make Kyrie opt out.
Yeah.
So it's a tough situation for Cleveland there. So you
they kind of did it to themselves in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you want about LeBron. They didn't put anyone around him.
No.
No, not one person. When your second best player is like
Delonte West.
Delonte West, or I was even going to say Mo Williams.
Yeah.
You, that's not a team.
Yeah.
That's not putting talent around your best player.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Cleveland.
So. Oh, Cleveland. But, I mean, other than that.
Just waiting for baseball patiently. We are like a week away.
I think 7 days, I think it is, or seven or
did
6 days.
What do they do? Like a Sunday night baseball to start it? Like they obviously had the Australian games. I get that.
Yeah.
But no one, that doesn't really count, at least for us. Because
there's 6 days.
And what do they do? What's like the first game? It's like a.
The first game is, I think it's the Cardinals.
Dude, I'm trying to think of like how they do. They do a lot of like 1 p.m. starts, don't they?
Yeah.
For opening days, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is a night game, though. We're going to go with it's the 30th. Two games on, and it's the Dodgers and the Padres.
It's always the Dodgers.
That's opening day?
Ugh.
That's opening night? That's...
Because, you know, the Dodgers didn't have opening night already. Let's just give them another one.
But not even that. That's not even a World Series team. That's...
Padres.
Yeah. So, the 30th starts opening day.
The 30th is a big one. I'm looking at that now.
So, you got the Dodgers and the Padres. So...
Yeah. Welcome back, baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always...
I think the first... Yeah, the Yankees have the first. That's their first game. And that's a night game, but that's in Houston, so... their opening day is until...
Where are my boys at? When do they open up?
They open up on the 2nd, I guess.
Yeah, okay. It always bothers me when, like... The first opening day and they're not playing. I'm like, just watch baseball.
Yeah, they play the 2nd.
Okay.
They have a night game, too. That's a night game. Opening day is usually a 1 o'clock
game. Usually a lot of 1 o'clock games that they do. It's very pretty
odd.
They
got the Red Sox for opening day. Yikes.
Pretty tough.
Yikes.
You know, let's not put that on opening night or anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, a game like that should be opening
night.
That's
a little more... relevancy. To
like in the NBA you would put Miami in opening night, or you know, football you would put, you know, the Super Bowl match opening night.
Yep.
So it's weird, but
and they are the defending champions, the Red Sox, so but you know, there's logic for you.
But I mean, like with baseball though, lately you've been seeing that the salary cap hasn't really been a factor the World Series team.
There's a lot of competition in baseball.
Other than the Red Sox last year, I mean, you had the Cardinals win, who really, you know, so. But I mean,
there's a lot of teams, you know, fighting for playoff spots this year in baseball that, you know, aren't your high salary, you know, going out and getting everyone you can kind of team. So, I mean, comparing this to basketball, I mean. Baseball just blows it away, in my opinion. Just in terms of competition alone.
Yeah.
I mean, not even that baseball's my favorite sport. Just strictly competition.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
And I feel like, you know, even with the big name teams, I feel like the AL East is going to be great this year.
Oh, it's going to it's going to be a battle,
you know,
man.
Definitely different from last year.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, you had the Red Sox in, like, last place in the beginning of the season that all of a sudden moved up to the first place and end up winning the World Series.
And you really hope injuries don't, you know, ruin what the AL East really can be this year.
Well, that's what it was last year.
Exactly.
You know, all the injuries were the problem last year. So, you know, I feel like the AL East will be, you know, very, very competitive.
For
some reason, Tampa Bay is always there. I don't get it.
They always trade the pitchers, too, that they're not going to sign because they have no money. Like, David Price will be gone by the All-Star break, and they're there.
Yeah.
They know how to draft pitchers like nobody else.
Some NFL news. We had the Ravens make a trade for the offensive lineman, Zutta from...
I think Jeremy Zutta from Tampa Bay,
who they already expressed that they wanted to trade him earlier in the season, like earlier in free agency. The Raiders... pick up Matt Schaub, I think it's a great move for them.
It's
a lot of money, but I think it's a good move for them. And also, DeSean Jackson is on the trade block. Everybody look out for him. They're saying that it's almost like 95% that he will not be an Eagle this year.
And also, for a lot of Jets fans out there, also seeing that the Jets are interested in that, in that fella.
They're saying there's three teams right now that are front runners. It's New England, San Francisco, and the Jets. So
he would be dangerous, especially on San Francisco.
And
New
England. Yeah. I mean, you put him on New England, it's not even fair. It's not even fair.
I said more so San Fran because that's what they're missing, it seems. Like that
a
one
deep threat.
Because their defense is, you know, right behind Seattle.
Yeah.
And if they had Deshaun in the playoffs last year even, I mean, that's that's scary.
So, but I mean, other than that, really nothing big has happened in the NFL. But that will do it, I guess.
We'll be back next week with more tournament updates.
Yeah.
It's going to be another crazy week as we'll find
out. We'll have the Sweet 16. That's going to be Wednesday and Thursday, and then you'll have the Elite Eight Friday and Saturday, and then the Final Four isn't until, I think, next Wednesday, I think it is.
I like how they do this, you know, real quick. Just, you know, the two rounds, back-to-back. And, you know, 3-4 days off, you don't really mind. You know, let the guys rest or whatever it may be.
Then you got the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight.
Then you're back.
Back-to-back. So, yeah, we'll be back. We'll have the Final Four when we get back on the air next Monday. But this has been another Tom and Jerry Sports Show podcast. I'm Jerry.
I'm Tom.
Be breezy.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Tom and Jerry Show.